If you are creating an MCP server and want to validate that it behaves as expected, the most common way to do this is to use the MCP Inspector, a graphical interface that is now officially available. Here we can see it. We can interact and say, hey, list the resources that this MCP exposes. From there, we can click on one of them and see the output. But this is very manual. In the end, this is also testing, but it is manual testing. So, if when we develop any type of application, we do not consider this as the strategy to guarantee in the future that we do not break anything when we touch another part of the code and that it remains stable, why would we do it with MCPs? Let's go down a level. The MCP Inspector CLI was also officially published relatively recently. Tell us what this is, Rafa. This is very interesting because it allows us to automate these types of calls that we make manually in the terminal itself. For example, what we can do is say, hey, npx, mode when protocol inspector, as we always open inspector, the difference is we put a GU so that it is through the terminal, as always. Hey, how do I run my server? And from now on the terminal arguments, I want to execute the resources list method. If I hit enter here, it's the same as when I come here and hit list resources, it's executing the same background call, the call that returns all the resources. This is already a big step because we could make a description to say, hey, every time we make a change, it's better to run a test that makes sure that it's here, to list all the courses. Okay, let's go step by step. And be careful, this is not the solution we would stick with. If you go all the way up to the top, you said we are running with NPX, that is, without needing to install it in the current project, but directly globally. They execute this little package, we pass it the CL argument and you are passing it as an argument that SRCPSVER, TS, TS. That is our server that we have set up. We have this running, and what we are doing with the Model Context Protocol Inspector in CLI mode is really acting as a client to this server. So if we stop to think about it, and this is where the interesting part begins, we can even go down a level. We have already gone from the graphical interface to the CLI, but, really, the CLI only does is act as a client of our MCP server. So why couldn't we also be the clients and attack directly from that point to automate precisely that validation pipeline of the tests that we have on our MCP server? How could this be done? It could be done because it is quite simple, thanks to the fact that when the people at Anthropic released the official LSDK library to make MCP servers in parallel, the same library also has it for making clients. And here we see it. That's the essence. It is very similar to making servers and you have everything you say. Well, I can list proms, I can get prom, I can bring up the resources, but it has a problem that may be small for, depending on the people. For us, it is quite a big problem, and that is that we are going to see how it would be used in this case. We are seeing all this because we have just implemented this MCP server that we now want to validate. We are doing this in the MCP server course applying good practices that you have at pro.codely.com. In this course, you will see precisely this about T0, which is an MCP server, what types of different elements it has, not only the tools, which are the most well-known, but also, as we have seen before, the resources, the templates for resources and many other things that we will learn in the course. So let's continue, Rafa. We say, we are already in the code, we have this resources function. Yes, this is a library that the official client is using and we are listing the resources. What we did before was terminal, but the problem is that what it returns is any, there is no
type.
This is the library proposed by Anthropic.
Right.
So that problem is quite a big one for us, and also, for testing, it's always good to add a little extra functionality to this type of return type that it gives us. That's why we've decided to do something, right, Javi?
Tell me about it. Let's go.
We've
created our own library, Codal TV MCP Client Client, which is a wrapper on top of that. We're not reinventing the wheel of the official Anthropic library. What it does add is the issue of types, and it adds some other utility methods. Like you can do this names when you do a list tools so that it only gives me the names, well, if I want to check that the name of my tool is here. And this is coupled to some test runner like Jest, Bitist or things like that, well no. Because the thing is that what we want is for it to be decoupled from any type of test client. So we have these methods that help us a lot, but this method has nothing to do with gesture. No, there is no spec here, but you create the spec. Here you have the utility getters, okay? In other words, it really is a client. We wanted it to be a pure MCP client and to add, today, in its most initial version, functionalities to that group that we are ultimately containing, which is the official Anthropic. And, in this case, the functionalities have to do with 1. Strict typing thanks to TScript, and everything we will now see about how this library is used, and 2. Utility functions, such as this getter of all the tool names so that we can later validate them in testing, but we could also use it in production code. So, let's see how to automate the tests of our MCP server. To do this, we will go to our beloved ID and we will see step by step how we have done it. We are testing a course resource, but it would not matter. We can even test resources or PROMs or tools that are not ours, but from third parties, because the important thing here is first of all to initialize our client and here where we say, hey, what protocol is this? Well, it is through the terminal and the command to execute it is npxode and that's it. That's it. This way I can test my client or any other. This MCP client, if we scroll up, we will see where it comes from and it comes from the library that we just saw, which you can also import simply in the JSON package, following the README instructions, you install it in your application and you can do this import. We say, we need the client to interact through the standard input-output channel. Why? Because in this case, if we remember when we are running, everything goes through the terminal. Therefore, we have to say that it works by terminating on our server in this case, but it also supports HTTP, which we will see later. Okay. With this, we are creating a client connecting it to the server that we indicated in line 9, which is ours, our application. If we had several servers in a single repository, then the detail is important here. What do we do with this? Okay, let's continue with the things that are needed for testing. Well, in this case, we are going to insert courses first because it is a course resource and we also need a database connection to be able to clean the connection before each test is launched. So, what do we do before each test? It is important to connect to the MCP client for all tests. We have to connect and disconnect after everything, okay? It is also important to log the entire table before each test so that it is in a clean status. And, as we said earlier, disconnect from the client when finished and close the database connection so that it does not remain open when finished. Cleaning the database before each test has to do with what we consider good development and testing practices. Specifically, if you're more interested in this, you can find it in the Testing, Introduction, and Good Practices course, where we talk about why test cases have to be atomic and isolated. And that allows us to focus this video on the topic of testing specifically for MCPs.
Tell us.
Well, now let's continue with the first test. The first test is to list our resource. It's important that we can get the value, but it's even more important that the courses are listed because if not, no one will ever be able to get the value. So let's see how we can easily do this. First of all, we're going to call our client's method to list the resources. This will return a type of MCP resources list response, which is great because what it allows us to do now is tell it, hey, we expect the URIs, a method that's already in our class, which is responsible for mapping everything inside, where the URI is returned.
Which contains curses all, quote.
Okay, but let's take it one step at a time. First, where did that type come from? That type is from our library.
Okay.
If we send it here when we click, we are inside the module, Coderv MCP client. Okay? Where is it defined? How can I see if I am implementing the tests? I am not a consumer at the end of the library. How can I see what that type contains? You can see it by going in here and seeing the structure of the type here. URI name, title, description. And also if you want to know the methods, well, you can come to the code and explore the methods that this gives us. Or if not, in the previous RMI and the methods that we have. How cool, kid. I mean, it is well documented and everything. Okay. So let's go back to our test case. There we were saying, to go step by step. First we are telling it through the MCP client that this is ultimately as if we had an HTTP client, right? With which we could do FreeQuest, a Gassel or whatever. Right, it's a citation test. It's a test from the outside and we're emulating being a client. Well, an integration client, right? We're integrating with a part of an external system of our infrastructure. Perfect. So we say, hey, here I instantiate that client and I make a call to list the resources that that MCP server exposes. That's what I expect. The assertion here is that it lists those courses in all. Why? Why is that the assertion? The assertion is to ensure that our course is there in that list. We could do it by the URI, but we could also do it by the name, by whatever we want. In this case, the most standard thing that always rules is the URI. So we go for the URI. Another option would be to take and say, no. Well, in this test, I execute the use case or real to obtain all the courses, and then in the test, what I do is compare the complete output of, hey, no. The resources have to be all this list of courses. We
do that later with the next test.
So let's see the next one, okay? Come on. First of all, let's run this to see that it works, and that we are not lying that the library works or works. So, everything is fine, everything is checked, everything is green. It has all the courses. If I said if there are courses here, it should fail. That way we can make sure that the library works and isn't lying to us. We can see the litmus test there. Perfect. Okay, well, let's move on to the next test.
Okay, let's move on to the
next one, which is that when there are no courses, it has to return empty.
Okay.
So here we care much more about what it returns. Here in this case we have a response, whose type here is MCP resource read response, and what we're going to do in this section is wait for what this response returns to me, its primitives, that is, the neutral value inside, to be equal to what we expect. And here we are comparing everything with everything. Hey, are you going to return me array that has content that has this structure with all this? Okay, because now, what does this read resource method do? What this read resource method is doing is calling resources, right? In other words, if we go back here to the inspector, we'll see that when we click inside a resource bar read is executed. So, it's returning this to me here. Okay, perfect. I mean, we're making exactly the same call that we would be making from the inspector's graphical interface in that case. Okay. And here we're reading the resources and we're telling it, we're passing it that curses Eskimo and the Uriol.
Right, what?
This is going to do is call my MCP server and tell it, hey, give me all the resources that are in this schema or give me the entire value of this resource, everything that's in here. And because let's remember before each database test, there are no courses, it has to return empty.
Okay, perfect.
And why here if we are comparing with everything and here we are not comparing with everything? The question you asked before, what happens here is that we do have control of what is going to be here. We know that there is not going to be anything. At this point, this is going to return many URIs because perhaps we have the resource of all the courses, but we have another one of list me users, list me whatever. So, in order to avoid having to say, hey, just check if the array contains one of these elements, it is faster to do it this way. In the end, it's as if we were testing an HTTP API where we are first validating one of the endpoints, which is listing the resources, and then we are validating another endpoint, which is not, once I call a certain resource, that it returns what I expect, so everything remains in that mental scheme that we have traditionally had. So let's move on to the next test case, okay? And now comes the one that really gets the juice, which is the case where courses that exist have to be returned. To do this, what do? Well, we create the courses. We have a course, we have another course, we put them in array to save them all in the database. And now we call the read resources method just like we were doing in the previous test. And what we are going to do now, just like in the previous test, is compare. Only now we know that there will be juice here.
Okay.
So let's see what the juice is like, because the juice is that we know that inside contents there will be a text that will be a JSON stringify of the two courses that we have. How nice. Here you can see a lot of things happening in this test, but if we look closely, we go all the way to the top when this test case starts and we see what the design patterns that we have been using in all the CODL courses contribute. In other words, we have the objects there that hide the unnecessary noise of this test case. In fact, I'll tell you more. Question: why is it special that the courses you are creating have to be one created today and the other created yesterday? Because it returns the result ordered by the most recent date before. Therefore, we care about the order. Therefore, we want to know that one was created before the other because otherwise we would get an error because a course is appearing in the wrong order. And if we generated completely randomly, we wouldn't know which order it would be, it wouldn't be deterministic. So sometimes the test would fail and sometimes it wouldn't. Maybe it would be cool to include this somehow in the test case, in the name of the test case. Hey, return the existing courses ordered by date of grading or something like that to know, where the topic comes from. But let's realize that with that what we are achieving is hiding the details that are not relevant to this test case. What is relevant is, hey, that it returns the courses ordered and such, with which, on the one hand, and then, on the other hand, if you go down below, well, the repository pattern there also helps us enormously, because we are saving that entity, that course aggregate, so that here we do not have to worry about whether the database connection, the injection container and dependencies that we have seen in the course, how we used it and how it was integrated, is also doing its good magic there. And finally, we have there the convention that we have been using of having the method your primitive, that if you go to this your primitive, what it is doing is basically returning to me, thanks to the primitive type of the library that you also have available, open source that we publish from CODL, with that primitive type which is the scalar data of that aggregate, right? So, in the CS to primitive on line 69, that's where we'll see how we've implemented it. And here we see something simple, which is the mapping of all those value objects. And we don't have to implement the generic primitive type ourselves, but it guarantees, it gives us the necessary robustness at the type level, which in the end is what we expect, that is, the aggregate without the methods and with the values in scalars. We go back, we say, the test is extremely simple and we can integrate this into our continuous integration pipeline. Right, yes, it takes as long as it takes to execute, the same as in CLI, that is, it won't take any longer than that. In this case, it takes a little longer in our tests, but that's because each time we're in a course, the embeddings are being generated. So it's not that it takes time to call the MCP, but rather the part of saving the courses takes time. We saw this in the course on when to generate embeddings, RAC and embeddings with AI, where we talked a little about the pros and cons. Cons, of course, because if we don't do it asynchronously, we're going to have to assume that time that now, for example, well, oysters, it bites us there. And by the way, you have the code link below so you can take a look at all the tests, because we've seen one for resources, we also have one for tools that are the same pattern all the time. Before closing, I would like to mention that CurrySource template had something that we mentioned before, which was auto-completion. We can also test auto-completion. In this case, what we've done, here we see it, is that it can complete the ID parameter. So we create a test a course with EA. Here we see the IDs, okay? We save these three courses that we've created in the database and we say, hey, when I get the request to fulfill resources, courses that have a ID parameter and that have grown T3, you should return T3ST and T3. You can also test that. How cool, kid. Well, listen, if you liked all this, all the stuff we published, the courses, the videos on YouTube, all that, please let us know, give it a little listen, give a star to the library repository on Hacker News, we'll publish it at launch. Let's try to give some visibility to all the work that goes into all this, thanks to none other than the people who are subscribed to pro.godaily.com. Not only do you have the training from the different courses that we publish, but as we gain experience and background, we also try to give back in the form of these types of libraries like the one we've seen for primitives or the one we're seeing today that we're launching for the MCP client. So in the next video we continue with the course.
Error management. Now it's time for error management.